prepare for that day when we can enter into heaven itself and enjoy the glory of God and fellowship with Him and with one another for all eternity. I want to thank you for being here this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. It's the duty of every Christian to meet with saints to glorify God, but more than a duty, it's a privilege, especially as we think about getting to go to heaven and preparing ourselves to do that. I hope you feel privileged this morning to be here and prepare yourself for your heavenly home. You know, there comes a time as we grow to maturity in life. We go through those ages when we're, you know, in elementary school and junior high school, and a lot of things that adults are responsible for, we're not really responsible for. Our parents take care of those things. But there comes a time in life when we ought to become responsible. I know the millennial generation that we're dealing with right now has this reputation for not shouldering their own responsibilities very well. I'm not sure that's a really fair rap, because I think a lot of generations in previous times have come to adulthood without really shouldering their responsibilities. But there does come that time when parents and mentors aren't there for you anymore, and even if they are there, they're not responsible for you anymore. You're responsible for you. And there are people who live not just to be 20 or 25 or 30, but people who live to be 60 and 65 and 70 who haven't really ever taken responsibility for themselves before the God of heaven. There comes a time when we have to stand on our own two feet. Solomon was a grown man. When David said to him in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2, "I go the way of all the earth, be strong therefore, and prove yourself a man." You stand up on your own two feet. You demonstrate that you're a servant of God. You demonstrate that you will do what God expects of you. To Timothy, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, "You be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand." Paul's fixing to leave the scene. Timothy's not going to have Paul to rely on any longer. Timothy, you stand on your own two feet. Timothy, you're responsible before God. You do the work of an evangelist. You fulfill your ministry. So the question I'd like us to think about this morning is, are we doing that? Are we standing on our own two feet? Now, again, as I use that particular phrase, I want to make it really clear that what I'm not saying is that everybody is responsible by their own merits and solely by their own efforts to save themselves. That's not at all what we're talking about. What we are talking about is personal responsibility before God, that each one of us must shoulder that, must admit to it and take it on. A lot of folks refuse to be responsible, as we've already mentioned, wanting someone else to take their responsibilities. They want, seems to me, a lot of people in this world want the freedom to make their own choices, but not take the responsibility for their own choices. So many folks expect others to clean up their messes. You know, we're living in an age when people get in financial messes because of really bad decisions that they make, often selfish decisions. And then they, you know, take bankruptcy or whatever and expect everybody else to bear the load of that and pay for that. That's just one little illustration, but we have lots of them in this world. Being responsible means, among other things, cleaning up your own mess. You made it, you clean it up, right? That's what we teach our children. We need to learn that as adults, because God is going to hold us, each and every one, responsible. We are each and every one going to stand before God. At the judgment day, every individual here of accountable age is going to stand before God. You're not going to stand as a couple with your wife or your husband. It's not going to be in groups, your church group, whatever. Not as families, not even as nations. But each of us is going to be judged individually for the things that we have done or left undone. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We know that passage, right? You're going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and following, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God." Romans 14, verse 12 says, each one of us. Here's what we have to realize. We come across things in our lives. Do I want to do that? Do I not want to do that? Is that a sin or is that not a sin? Is it in a gray area? Of course, everybody wants to put a lot of things in gray areas. And there are some things that are in gray areas that are matters of judgment, matters of conscience that God has left. There are not a lot of those, but there are some of those. And here's what I tell people, you know, they ask me about, well, what about this, which is maybe a matter of conscience? Should I do this or should I not do this? Is it right or wrong? Here's what I tell them. You're going to have to answer to God for it. You're going to have to answer to God for it. I'm not going to stand there and give an account for what you do or don't do here. That's on you. So you better make sure that you're taking the safe path, the path that you know you can answer to God. I did this, and I know I'm okay with you there. Because you're going to have to give him an answer. Each one shall give account of himself to God. A classmate in college that wrote a book, wrote a song, rather, in our hymn book. His name is Craig Roberts. And this line is rather haunting, but he says, "We shall stand before the throne, stand with all, but stand alone. Face at last the aged one. God is holy. Bow before him." We'll stand with everybody, but we'll stand alone. And the only thing that we can plead in those moments, by way of excuse, by way of, you know, "I did that sin, but God, don't punish me because of the blood of Jesus Christ." That's all you've got. That's all you've got. And so if you do sin, if you do violate the will of God, it's only the blood of Jesus that's going to blot that out of God's book. It's only the blood of Jesus. Everything else you've got to answer for. If you haven't gotten forgiveness for it through the blood of Jesus, you're going to have to account for it. You're going to have to answer God. Each one is going to be judged, as we've already mentioned, apart from their parents, their children, their spouses. Each one will be judged according to the life that he or she lived. You're not going to be able to stand there and say, "Well, my parents were so and so. My wife was this great. My children became such great." Doesn't matter. What were you as a servant of God? Somebody might say, "Well, I was raised in such and such a church. I was taught this or I was taught that, so that's my excuse for what I believed, which was wrong. My excuse for what I did, which was wrong, was that it was my parents or my wife influenced me, or with a lot of people, my children influenced me." That's not going to work. That's not going to work. Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, "The soul that sins shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, or the father the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." You'll answer for yourself. Although faith, in a sense, can be passed down from one generation to the next, one generation cannot live it for the other. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 that he was thankful for Timothy when he called to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which he says dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, I'm persuaded is also in you. So Timothy had faith, faith that his grandmother had had, faith that his mother had had, and now faith that he had. But Timothy is the one that made the choice to live by that faith. And Timothy was the one who's going to be responsible to answer to God for how he was living. Paul doesn't mean to imply there, well, you're good because, you know, your mom and your grandmother were good. Timothy was living that faith. That faith was dwelling in him. Doesn't matter your connection to ancestors who were either good or bad. That's neither your justification nor your excuse. Think about what Jesus said. What John the Baptist said, that both of them made this same point when talking to the Jews. Luke 3 and verse 8, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Doesn't matter who your father was, who your great-grandfather was, who your illustrious ancestor was, or your infamous ancestor, whichever the case may be. You're responsible for you. When the children of Israel stood before God on the plains of Moab, ready to enter the promised land, and Moses he's preaching to them. He's trying to get them ready to inherit the promise that God had made. He tells them in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 3, the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us. We who are here today, all of us who are alive. It's not with your fathers, it's with us. We're responsible. We're not going to be judged by the circumstances of our lives. We're not going to be judged by the culture that surrounds us. Well, you know, you lived in the 21st century America and there was so much wickedness going on there. God's going to, oh, wow, I'll give you a pass on that same-sex marriage thing, you know, because after all, y'all were confused about that during that culture. So that's not going to happen. God's word is eternal, and it doesn't matter what the world is saying. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It doesn't matter what the world would conform you to, and in every generation, the world wants us to be something other than what God wants us to be. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, Romans 12 and verse 2. The standard of judgment will not be determined by the age or the society or the culture in which we've lived, but by God's word. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's what we'll be judged by. The word of Jesus. The word he spoke while on earth. The word that he gave to his apostles through the Holy Spirit after he left this earth. Those are the words that we'll be judged by. We must, each of us, see our personal responsibility. Standing on your own two feet. Personal responsibility for your life. Personal responsibility for your soul. Everyone must bear his own load. Most fascinating passage, isn't it, in Galatians chapter 6? Let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Paul had just said before this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So yeah, we help one another along. But when it comes to what your responsibility is before God, only you can bear that. Each one will bear his own load. I heard about a fellow who was a patient in a hospital. It wasn't Athens Hospital, y'all, so. but he was a patient in a hospital, and there was a spill in his room. I think he knocked his drink over or something like that. So there's this, you know, little puddle on the floor. And the nurse tech comes in and he points out, well, there's a spill here. And she looks at it. And she says, I don't know, that's a pretty big spill. You know, we have regulations about that here at the hospital. The nurse techs are supposed to take care of the small spills, and the housekeeping people are supposed to take care of the big spills. So she calls housekeeping, and housekeeping comes in there, and housekeeping looks at the spill and says, no, that's a little spill. So they get in this argument about who's going to clean up this spill. Who's responsible for the spill? So finally the patient gets so disgusted, he takes his big jug of water, you know, that's standing there, and he just dumps the whole thing on the floor. He said, now is it big enough for you to take care of? The point is, we're responsible. We're responsible before God to do the work that God has given us to do, to take care of the things that God has told us to take care of in our lives, about our lives. And by the way, we need to clean up our own spills. Others can't do that for us. We must go to God. We must realize that sometimes our responsibilities are much greater and beyond what we might like to take on. We're going to talk about this a little more tonight, but David stands before Goliath. You know, he's a shepherd boy, and he goes up to check on his brothers, and the whole army of Israel is encamped in fear in the Valley of Elah against the Philistines who are across the way, and their champions coming out and defying the armies of the living God, Goliath is. And here David is, just a young shepherd boy. You would think that he'd be the last person responsible to take on Goliath. But you know what David sees that nobody else in apparently that whole army saw? That he was responsible. They all were. You can't let somebody defy the armies of the living God go unchallenged. David takes it on and wins by the power of God through faith. Here's what Satan does to us. He presents something to us that would be a work that God wants done. But he tells us, that's too big for you. You can't handle that. You don't have the time. You don't have the talent. You don't have the energy. Nobody's going to support you if you do it. That's too big a responsibility. The scriptures come back and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The scriptures come back and say, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You can do it if God has given you the responsibility to do it. You can do it if God has given you the opportunity to do it. You're responsible. And if you don't do it, you'll answer to God. We must all give account of ourselves to God for everything we've done and not done, good and bad, in this life. So I want to talk in the remaining minutes that we have about how to take responsibility for your life. First of all, you have to take responsibility for your decision to serve God or not. Make the decision yourself to do what is right. Joshua, as great a leader as he was, when he comes to the end of his life, he's made the choice, but he realizes he cannot make the choice for the rest of the nation. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, but you choose you this day whom you will serve. You've got to make that choice. No one else can make the decision for you. Taking responsibility for what your life can be and should be in Christ. Nobody else can believe for you. Nobody else can confess the name of Jesus for you. Nobody else can be baptized for the remission of sins for you. Those are all your responsibilities to obey the gospel. Ananias comes to Saul of Tarsus and he's praying in Damascus in Acts 22 as Paul recounts the story. And Ananias says to him, "Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and call on the name of the Lord, washing away your sins." Nobody could do that for Paul. He had to do it for himself. He had to do it for himself. Take responsibility for your life before God. Take responsibility to walk away from sin, to handle sin and temptation the way it needs to be handled, the way God would want you to handle it and expects you to handle it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, "Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness." Paul goes on in that context to talk about a number of things that we need to stop doing if we're in Christ and start doing if we're in Christ. Those are your responsibilities, my responsibilities. And maybe above all else, in taking responsibility for your own life, you make your decision. It's not your parents' decision. It's not your children's decision. It's not your spouse's decision. It's your decision, number one. Number two, it's your decision, once you've become a Christian, how you're going to deal with sin. Nobody else can deal with it for you. You have to decide. And number three, you have to be honest with yourself and with others before God. Examine yourself, Paul will say, whether you're in the faith. Don't you know your own self that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you're indeed reprobate? Acknowledge and confess your sins. Correct them when you commit them. How do you do that? Well, if you're a Christian, we have instructions about that. Plenty of instructions. In 1 John, for instance, chapter 1, starting in verse 8, John, writing to Christians, says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's your responsibility. I can't confess your sin for you. You can't confess my sin for me. You're responsible for that. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Be honest with yourself. Examine yourself. See how you really are in light of God's word. Confess your sins when you discover them. Apply Scripture to your life. Apply it to your life consistently and openly. James will write in James chapter 1 and verse 22, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." If anyone is a hearer of the word, notice how he puts this as personal responsibility. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So we look into God's word and we see, yeah, I am really messed up here. I'm not doing this it says to do. I am doing this it says not to do. I'm all sorts of ways contorted and twisted and messed up as I look into God's word and I lay it down and I walk away and I don't change a thing. What'd you look in the mirror to begin with for? It's about changing you. But you're responsible. You look in the mirror, you change it. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Doesn't matter how many sermons you hear if you're not going to do what you hear. Doesn't matter how many verses you read if you're not going to do what you read. Just walking away from the mirror. Allow it to change you. The Word of God is truly living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can get all in you, divide you up, and through it you can see who you really are. A long time ago, Saul of Tarsus was walking the road to Damascus to go persecute Christians. And Jesus appeared to him. You remember the story, right? And after the initial interaction between Jesus and Saul of Tarsus, this little tidbit jumps out at me. Jesus tells Saul, "Arise and stand on your feet." And then he tells him what he wants him to do. Arise and stand on your feet. You're responsible now, Saul of Tarsus, to do what I'm about to tell you. You're responsible this morning, whoever you are, to do what God says do. Jesus says this, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And then he says, "Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Luke 14:27. That's on you. That's on you. We can blame our parents, the church, the elders, the preacher, fellow Christians, circumstances in life, "You don't know what I've been through," on and on and on we can go. None of that's going to wash in the eyes of God. It's on you. He has, by His marvelous grace, afforded you a way back to Him. If this morning you're outside of Christ, you've never named the name of Jesus, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins upon faith and confession of His name. Most of us here this morning have done that. But are you handling temptation as you should? Are you walking away from sin, and when you fall into sin, are you confessing it as you should? You're responsible for that. You're responsible for that right here, right now, this morning. That if you have sin in your life, it needs to be confessed. You don't necessarily have to walk the aisle, but it's a good thing to do, to come forward and say, "I've done this, I've done that. Would you please pray with me and for me that God might forgive me?" Whatever you need, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.